some of his story. I'm not going to give you any details because I want him to be able to share them all.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Well, before I even get started, I would like to wish someone special a happy birthday. Don't know if I'm stealing your thunder later on or not, but my daughter right here, Olivia, will be turning 10 in 2 days. So happy birthday, sweetie. Now, Pastor Paul didn't give me a time limit, so hopefully no one has their oven set for roast beef or something like that. You might want to cancel that or cancel your lunch plans, because we might be here a little while. And that's not me talking, that's God talking. I prayed this morning that the Holy Spirit would just be with me. A little bit nervous standing at the front here. I've kind of done this before, about 4 years ago, and I'll kind of explain that in my story. I did make some notes of what I want to share. The reason for that is I've inherited the gift of gab from my mother. My wife sometimes tells me that I babble on and, sometimes don't know when to shut up. So that's why I've got some notes here. So I'll try and stick to them. There we go. Exactly. So good morning, Broadway Church. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, just taking that time out of our week to worship and praise his name in song. And I just want to thank my cousin Jason for being up front here. I can see how nerve-wracking it is, but like I said before, the Holy Spirit leads you and kind of takes that nervousness away. I'd also like to thank Pastor Paul for listening to God or obeying God and just following his lead and calling me this week and saying, hey, I want you to share a little bit of your story. So this isn't really me up here. This is the Holy Spirit just leading me. I'm just a vessel and speaking through him. So thank you for that. Now, real importantly here, I got some scripture. I don't want this to fall anywhere. And I'll try not to drop the mic because I do have numbness in my left hand. So I'll switch it back to the right there. First and foremost, I would like to thank Pastor Paul, the prayer team, the Broadway congregation. I think they're filming it on Facebook Live. So if I have any of my family all across the country, I want to thank all of you for praying for me and just getting down on your knees, getting in your prayer closet, because without those prayers and without God answering those prayers, I can honestly say I probably wouldn't be standing up here today, literally 2 weeks after having brain surgery. So it leads me into a scripture, James 5:13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses or sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a high righteous man avails much. So I can honestly say from the time of diagnosis until my surgery and even up till now, I wasn't down on my hands and knees, praying to God saying, deliver me from this and save me from this. I think the reason for it is once I was diagnosed and I reached out and asked for people to pray, God just put a peace over me that everything was going to be okay. So I didn't have to do the praying because I had the people of, that love me and that love God, I had them praying for me. And it just, like I said, it just, I kind of breezed through the whole, I'll give you kind of a timeline as a little bit later here. I just kind of breezed through the whole thing, like that waiting game of, you know, being anxious and being panicky. And if anybody knows me, I've suffered from anxiety and panic attacks. So I never had that. Like, God, the Holy Spirit just came over me and just gave me peace. So today I'm going to share with you a little bit about myself, my connection with the church here, my walk with God, and then most relevant event that happened in my life, which is my brain tumor. So here's a little bit of proof right here that I have had brain surgery. It might be hard for you to see down there, but after, if you want to have a look at it, I do have some pretty gruesome pictures from previous and stuff like that, and if you're not the faint of heart and you want to see some of that, I definitely have some pictures, which is kind of cool. So, so before I continue on, I'd like to apologize if I mess up words or say something that doesn't make sense, maybe repeat myself or kind of ramble on, but cut me some slack. I have had brain surgery recently, you know. Also, just a heads up. I might crack a joke every now and then. It's what I like to call tumor humor. And it's how I've dealt with it. That's just the person I am. I'm kind of like to be funny, like to make people laugh. It's got me through some of the tough times when I might have had a tough day at work and was like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? And you know, I just kind of would crack a joke to someone at work. They might have given me a dirty look saying, come on, Glenn, you got a tumor. Like, what's going on here? Isn't it said that laughter is the best medicine? And actually, you know what? There's a scripture. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. So it's ordained by God to be laughing. It's okay, right? So who am I? Shameless plug for Pastor Paul later, the title of his sermon later. So, like Pastor Paul introduced, my name's Glenn Halfyard. I'm the son of Barrett and Jeanette that have been attending this church here for quite some time. At least I know my name. just kind of reverting to my notes here. So some of you may have known me for years. Maybe even from the time I was a baby. The rest of you that have maybe, you know, meeting me for the first day, consider yourselves the lucky ones. You haven't had to put up with me as long. That was close. So this is going to start off, and you're going to be like, oh my goodness, we're going to be here for days, but actually it won't. So I was born here in Orangeville, 1977. I'm 42 years old. I was dedicated in this very church. However, it looked a little different. We had some stylish red carpet, wooden pews with purple cushion seats, stucco walls. So, you know, the house of God has kind of changed here, probably for the better. I don't know if red carpet and purple pews would be that stylish nowadays. Went to Sunday school here, went to Crusaders, went to youth group, was baptized in water in the baptismal tank, which, if I'm correct, kind of was over there when the stage was kind of that way. You know, rusty old blue kind of cold water tub. And then after youth group, you know, I reached that age where it's like, hey, let's go check out what the world has to offer. You know, kind of strayed away, or what some Christians might call backsliding. One great thing happened out of that. I met my wife, Phyllis. She's sitting down there smiling. Don't know if I'm trying to embarrass her or not, but she won't stand up. And we actually happened to get married in this church. At that time, it didn't have the blood red carpet, a little bit different, but not as, you know, stylish as what you see here now. We have two beautiful daughters. I've already mentioned Olivia. She'll be turning 10 shortly. And then Serafina is back with mommy back there. She's 7. Both of them were dedicated in this church, actually, by Pastor Paul. So needless to say, my roots are pretty deep here, not only with being a Christian and in this church. And I have one person to thank for that, and that's my mother. Sunday after Sunday, year after year, she'd get up, she'd get, you know, all the whole family ready, take them to church. Dad stayed home, but later on, after Mom was on her knees for, you know, quite a few years, he's come to know the Lord, and he attends church on a regular basis when he can. He has a little bit of health issues, but, you know, he puts his trust in God and knows that God will take care of him. So, you know, with the whole planting of the roots and stuff like that, I've got a scripture that comes to mind. It's Proverbs 22:6, and it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. So for me, hearing that scripture now, it's kind of a little scary because I guess I'm old. But, you know, it's true. You know, for parents that have kids that are bringing them to church and bringing them to Sunday school, they're planting roots, and that's amazing because the world has a lot to offer out there that is very deceiving. The enemy is on the prowl always. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And planting those roots while they're young is a great, great thing. And for some of you that may have returned back to church because you remember coming to Broadway on a bus for the Sunday school bus ministry or something like that, I've definitely heard stories of some of the congregation that have done that. So, you know, once your roots are planted, look out. God's coming for you. Like Pastor Paul spoke last week, I'm one of his lost sheep. You know, at times you just kind of stray away, but he's always watching for you. He'll leave the 99 behind because he knows that they're fine, and he kind of throws the fishing rod out and just reels you back in. Before I get to my story, I have a quick little story about someone else that is dear to my heart. And my wife helped me get dressed, and she did this button a little too tight. Now I can't even get to it. So I'm wearing a bracelet. It's a blue bracelet. It has some yellow writing on it. It says, Fearless Priscilla. And it is to. It has awareness for synovial sarcoma. So some of you may know, or most of you may know, my niece Priscilla Halfyard passed away about 4 years ago to cancer. She had terminal cancer, was in a bad car accident, had some testing and stuff like that, and was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. But at that time, I think I was going through a rough time in my life, and God used her story to kind of draw me back in as that lost sheep. It didn't matter what she went through. It didn't matter the pain. It didn't matter the surgeries. And on a side note, she did have, at one time, the x-rays showed that she had 4 brain tumors. And she went through that surgery with flying colors. So as a 22-year-old, if she can have 4 brain tumors removed, then my 1 brain tumor would have been a walk in the park for me. She always had a smile on her face. And she didn't use her illness to have her be, oh, woe is me, and pity me, and stuff like that. She just said, you know what, this is what God wants me to do. And she had a favorite scripture verse, and it's found in Luke 4:18, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's pretty amazing for a 22-year-old girl that is dying with cancer, and She's a witness. She was a witness to share the love of Jesus, that no matter what came in her way, she always had a smile on her face, and she knew that she was going to go spend eternity with her Savior, Jesus Christ. So, you must be wondering how I discovered that I had a brain tumor. Believe it or not, I'm going to tell you. It technically started last August. I was at work one day. And for some reason, work always seems to come into the jive here. Don't know why. Might be a little bit stressful. All of a sudden, got some numbness on the left side of my face. And my left hand, my fingers started tingling. Lasted for about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, would go away. And it came back again. So, you know, after that second bout of like that one and a half to 2 minutes, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Am I having a panic attack? Am I under stress? And it happened to be my brother's birthday and one of my cousin's birthday. And my wife was, while I was at work, my wife was celebrating my cousin's birthday over at my sister's house. So I called her up and said, told her what I had. So she goes, well, maybe you should go to the hospital. I'm like, okay, good idea. So I head to the hospital. They check me out. They put a heart monitor on me. They check my blood. Everything comes back totally normal. Now, at that time, I guess they weren't concerned about the brain, maybe because they didn't think I had one. There was no, you know, testing or X-rays done on the brain at the time. So, unfortunately, they didn't discover it at that time. Now, through the winter, I remember a few times sitting on the couch and telling Phyllis, hey, my lips are going numb again. And then within about 30 seconds, it would go away. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm okay. And then this kind of brings me up to this May 8th, another birthday. It was my nephew Adam's birthday. So for some reason, God's like doing this on people's birthdays. So, you know, great birthday gift to them. But same feeling, again, happened at work. Was walking with an associate, talking away, and boom, all of a sudden the left side of my face goes numb again. Well, he kind of gets into action and thinks that I might be having a stroke, pulls me off to the side, sits me down, they call 911. And how relieving it is when you have the fire department show up and paramedics show up and the people are saying to me, hey, Glenn, how you doing? You know, you've been called, or 911's been called. Just because I've made connections in town when I worked for a fire equipment company with the fire department. One of the paramedics was Andrea Rael, so John and Helen's daughter that I've known for years and years and years. So talk about God at work just keeping me, you know, at peace, that, you know, I was in good hands. Now, this trip to the hospital was a little bit different. They did a CT scan, and when the ER doctor came back, he said, we found something on the right side of your brain. Don't know what it is, but we're going to refer you to a neurologist. And went and saw the neurologist within a couple days. He had a great sense of humor, which was phenomenal. Actually told Phyllis and I a joke. What do you call a bear with no teeth? A gummy bear. So pretty cool for, you know, this specialist doctor to say these jokes. Now, don't forget, he's only a neurologist, so he's just kind of figuring out what's going on with the brain. He books for me for an MRI. He books me for a sleep-deprived EEG. I go back to work. Don't have any of these episodes for a little while. Went for my MRI on June 30th. And then all of a sudden, July 14th, have this same episode happen on the left side of my face. However, this time, when it got to the five-minute mark, I'm like, yeah, something's kind of major here. So I called Phyllis while I was at work, got her to drive me up to the hospital, and took about, you know, unfortunately, at the hospital sometimes it takes a little long. So after about 3 hours of having this numbness and nervous shocks and it fading away and coming back and all that kind of stuff, the doctor finally comes to see me and says, well, I have some results of your MRI, but I can't tell you that. It'll have to be your family doctor. And she said, if anything else happens, we're open 24 hours, come back and see us. Take the next few days off, rest and relax. So what do? Jump in the car and head up to the trailer. Most people know that we have a trailer now, so that's where I like to go relax. Well, I'm up there, I get a call from my family doctor. Family doctor says, I've got your MRI results, and I'm going to be referring you to a neurosurgeon. She tells me that there's a mass on the right side of my brain. Well, at this time, start telling family, start posting a little bit of stuff on Facebook. Facebook's an amazing tool, especially when you want to get the word out there and have people praying for you. So talk about that. And July 19th, Phyllis and I head on down to Mississauga, just across from the Trillium Hospital, to go visit a neurosurgeon. His name is Dr. Isakawa. Doesn't have much of a sense of humor, but you know what? Who wants a stand-up comedian doing brain surgery on you, right? I go in the exam room, does a couple, motor skills, different things like that, and says, okay, come on over to my office. I want to show you something. So we stand in his office. He shows the picture, the MRI picture of my brain, and it's probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen, because now I know I have a brain, which is good. Phyllis kind of made a joke about that as well. And he shows the one area, a round circle, and goes, this is a brain tumor. It's a what he considered a low-grade stage 2 tumor, and he was 99% sure that it's not cancer. So coming from a neurosurgeon, when he says 99%, that's pretty good odds. That was a little relieving. He did say it's operable, and he said we'll book surgery, and he said there's 10% risk of infection, and you're going to be under anesthetic and different things like that. And then he also said, when I'm in doing the operation, I want to make sure that I only get the tumor and I don't take any of the good stuff out, which then Phyllis pipes up and says, well, that's a good thing. Make sure you don't take anything too much. He needs everything he can get. He didn't laugh. And maybe I did a little bit. So, what do you do when you find out you have a brain tumor? Well, after cracking a few jokes about, the famous Arnold Schwarzenegger, oh, it's not a tumor, calling your family and saying what's going on, you post it on Facebook. So that's what I did. Posted on Facebook, told people what was going on, because they knew I was having kind of these health issues and these episodes of face numbness and stuff like that. And from right then, that's when I felt the peace of God just come over me, that everything was going to be okay. I talked to people at work. I talked to people, neighbors. And they're like, I don't understand, Glenn. Like, you have a brain tumor. You're going for surgery. Why are you so nonchalant about it? I'm like, because it's all going to be okay. God's going to take care of me, right? Even though I was one of those lost stray sheep, he still loved me. He still wanted to care for me, and he let me know that that I was gonna be okay. So, leading up to the surgery, like I said, had a few rough days. But just, called on God to, just get me through those, which he did. So my surgery took place on August 30th. Now there was one thing I was a little upset about, the long weekend of September. The new campground that we've been at all summer, they were having a ball hockey tournament. And I was going to miss it because I was going to be in the hospital recovering from brain surgery. If anyone knows me, I am a huge hockey fan, played it all my life, love it. Yes, I'm a Leaf fan. Don't hold it against me, Detroit fans. A little upset about that, so I guess I'm going to have to wait till next year for that one. I went into surgery Friday. It was in the prep area, I guess you could say, and I literally walked right into the operating room. They didn't put me on a stretcher, didn't wheel me in, and I jumped up on the operating table, laid down, and they started hooking everything up to me. And at that moment, I had a nurse, and she was kind of, the hair that I do kind of have left on my head, she was, kind of rubbing it, just saying, You know, everything's going to be okay. Just think happy thoughts, you know. And there I just kind of said a little prayer that, you know what, God, you watch over the surgeons and I'll let my niece Priscilla watch over me, you know. And I thought about my daughters and I thought about my wife. And before you know it, when they told me, when they started administering the anesthetic, like, oh, it's going to feel like you've had about 17 bottles of wine. Well, it did, and boom, I was out cold. Now, I have to jump ahead to when I came out of surgery, but during that four-hour span was pretty, I'm going to say, scary for my wife, my mom who was at the hospital, my sister and my father-in-law, because they were pacing the floor. I was having the best sleep of my life. But, you know, a lot of worry for them of, is everything going to be okay? Phyllis took it the hardest when we did find out. And thanks to your prayers, it got her through. And I think this whole situation has really shaken both of our spirits, and that we need to hand over the keys to God, and we need to just let him take control and put our whole trust and faith in him. So quickly, I came out of surgery about 12:30 on the Friday. By the sounds of it, I didn't look as bad as what Phyllis was kind of, I can't say hoping for, but possibly thought I was going to look like, you know, bandage on the side of my head, all hooked up to IVs and stuff like that, you know, get into my room. And of course, when you're on anesthetic, you're a little out there, I'm going to say. So I probably said a few funny things, and they did remind me that when I did wake up initially from the anesthetic, I did say it was 1989. So I'm like, I was about 12 years old at the time. So I guess it was a good year. Can't tell you why. Maybe it was a hockey championship or something like that. So Friday night I was in the hospital. Saturday, just feeling better and better. Doctor came in, removed a tube that was draining some fluid off my brain. Made a couple phone calls. One of the phone calls was to Pastor Paul and Chris, just to let them know how I was doing. And they were absolutely astounded of the tone of my voice when I was talking to them. They're like, are you sure you had brain surgery yesterday? Because you don't sound like a Glenn that had brain surgery. You sound like the regular Glenn. And I'm like, nope. You know what? God has answered prayer. He's got me through. You know, he had his hand on me the whole time. And they'll vouch for me. That's exactly what they said. They're like, this is amazing. I'm like, well, it's a miracle. Plain and simple. It's a miracle. You know, some people might come through a brain surgery in 1 day, 2 days, or 10 days. But, you know, God got me through it. Also at the hospital, you know, God works in mysterious ways. It's pretty amazing. Had a chance to speak to one of the nurses. She was kind of telling Phyllis and I a story about, you know, having a rough time with her teenage daughter, and later on she came back to the room, or the next night, I don't remember exactly. And her and I just had a discussion about, you know, God and you know, Jesus as your Lord and Savior and stuff like that. And it was pretty amazing because it wasn't me, it was God. Like, God put me there to share that with her and her to share her story with me. Also, there was another patient there. Her name was Christina. She went in for surgery 2 days prior to me. Somehow I jumped the line when I came out and got into a room before her. She had an 8-centimeter tumor removed from her brain. Other dimensions there. Mine was about 4 centimeters by 3 by 3 kind of thing. So her incision started here and went all the way to the back. And unfortunately, while she was in the hospital, she got pancreatitis and then ended up having her gallbladder out. So, you know, there was one night that I remember, even before I met her, I'm going to say it was a Saturday night, I heard her moaning and groaning. And I laid in my bed, and even though they were giving me pain medication, I just said, God, take away my pain and let the nurses focus on her. And he did. And I got to talk to her. I got to pray with her. You know, myself and her husband exchanged numbers, and we've kept in contact the past, you know, couple weeks since I've been out of the hospital. She's come out of the hospital. She had her gallbladder out, and everything's been going great. So, you know, I just praise God that he's been able to help her through and help them through. So I got home on Monday, had brain surgery Friday, already home on Monday. The Sunday was, surgeon comes in, says to me, hey, you're looking good, feel like going home? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I just had brain surgery 2 days ago, and isn't that your decision? So he goes, okay, put your shoes on. So I put on a pair of running shoes and got up out of bed, still in a hospital gown, walked down the hallway, took about, I don't know, 6 steps. He goes, okay, turn around, come back. He goes, be ready to go home tomorrow. And at that, I'm just, like, blown away. Like, I know they did say, yeah, your hospital visit would be 3 to 7 days, but I'm expecting the worst. And, you know, with brain surgery, who knows? Who knows what it could be? So Monday I came home. The Monday of Labor Day weekend, I want to say it was September 2nd, you know, kind of lost track of days and dates and whatnot. The first few days at home were great. I think I overdid it one day. The Thursday night, I didn't get much sleep, just the pain wouldn't go away, even with pain meds. Woke up Friday morning being sick. Phyllis called 911, ambulance got there, gave me some meds, got me to the hospital. I had a nice, relaxing, restful sleep at the hospital through the morning and emerge, and I was back at home again. So after that, you know, even though a little bit of a setback, God still got me through. I was at church last Sunday. I was a guy sitting over there with a hat on. I do apologize. I just didn't want to scare any kids with the incision on the side of my head. So, you know, just strong enough to get up and come to church and be in God's house and listen to an amazing message about the lost sheep, right? So from the surgery, besides the incision on the side of my head that's healing up, I'm going to have a pretty cool scar. It's in the shape of a horseshoe. For some, they'd be like, oh, yeah, you're going to have good luck. It's like, you know what, I don't need good luck. I've got God on my side, right? You know what, maybe that's something I can use as a witnessing tool, right? Walking along the, someone sees, whoa, what happened to your head? Well, I had brain surgery, but you know what, God got me through, right? So I'm going to use a horseshoe-shaped scar. You can use whatever is going on in your life or whatever you've gone through. God, like I said, God works in mysterious ways. He uses absolutely anything to share his love, to share his message of what he's done for us. So, what am I doing now? Well, besides sitting at home and resting and relaxing and stuff like that, I'm doing a very important thing. Putting my trust in God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your path straight. So that's what I need to do going forward is live on that verse. Just put my trust in the Lord that this has happened to me. He's brought me through it, and it's not for me. It's not for my glory to get up here and speak about it. It's for his glory. It's for the glory of God. So I'm giving it all to him for that. The other thing, thank you. Yeah. The other thing I'm doing is living by Matthew 6:34. I think I have it on my phone here. I'm going to try and find it. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Matthew 6:34. Just taking it one day at a time. Living in today. And why do we live in today? Because Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I've got a couple more things here real quick. And then because I've had trouble with anxiety and stuff like that, you know, 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your anxiety, that could be your cares, that could be your sorrows, that could be your prayer request, cast it on him because he cares for you. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So I'm not going to let a tiny little brain tumor shake me, right? My niece Priscilla, she never let cancer shake her. Her faith stayed strong right till her last breath. So in closing, I just want to talk about prayer. Again, I want to thank the church congregation. I want to thank anybody through Facebook, family, all across the country, down in the States, all across the world that has prayed for me. You've been obedient to God. He's answered your prayer. Continue doing that. For myself, I'm not sure if I've mentioned, I don't think I did, when the surgeon removed the tumor, there was a little bit of remnants left over. So because he couldn't get that, I'm leaving that up to God to get it. God will shrink that down so that I'll heal and recover 100%. When I go back for my follow-up and I go for another MRI, the doctors will be totally astonished because God's taken care of it. I've put it in his hands. And just a reminder, when you pray, when you pray for me, when you pray for others, just remember that prayer isn't to remind God what your problems are, but prayer is to remind your problems who God is. Thank you.